Congratulations on finishing your course. That was some hard work. Now what do I do with it? Is there anyone that will house my course and help me sell it? What if I can get an entire team to help me sell my course that I worked so hard on? Have I got a discovery for you? The Great Discovery not only has a place for your course, but a network of affiliates that are eager to sell your hard-earned course creation. Want to make a little more money so you can build your course or invest in yourself? Opportunities for all this and more await you at The Great Discovery, or go to tuepodcast.net/discovery for more information. Once again, that's tuepodcast.net/discovery for more information about how to join The Great Discovery now. Salutations, Scuba Believer. Do you have a dream of becoming an entrepreneur, but don't know where to start or even what to do? Where can I gather information quickly about what's in my zone of genius? Don't worry, Scuba Believers. I got you covered. Go to tuepodcast.net/AI prompt and check out an amazing set of AI prompts that will give you ideas, information, and articles to help you get across that start line. Once again, go to tuepodcast.net/AI prompt to get you started now. Good luck, Scuba Believer.
Undiscovered Entrepreneur, Episode Lucky Number 7.
Attention, Scuba Believers. Grab your audience by the eyeballs with eye-catching logo animations. Give your brand the visual enhancement it needs to thrive in a digital world. Go to topbizdesign.com, where excellence meets design.
The Undiscovered Entrepreneur, the podcast where brand new entrepreneurs come to life and could quite possibly be discovered. Join me, DJ Scoob, and the rest of the Scoob Believers as we help these new businesses become a reality. And now, away we go!
Hello, Scuba Believer, and welcome to another episode of The Undiscovered Entrepreneur. This is your host, DJ Scoob, coming at you live from whatever device you happen to be listening to. So today we got something really, really special for you. We are talking to a man that I like to call the Honey Man of Romania. That's right, he is a beekeeper. Now, he really gives some fantastic stories about his career in beekeeping. And he's only actually had the business itself for 3 months, but it's been in his family for 5 whole generations and possibly even more. We'll listen to how his family actually gave him the choice of whether to be a beekeeper or to continue his studies about sales and marketing. Also, he has a fantastic story about believing in yourself while talking to one of his best mentors. And I got to tell you, this story resonated with me, resonated with my heart and everything that I believe in. So it's really something to really pay close attention to. Also, we'll listen to how his logo kind of gave him a little bit of difficulty and the struggles he had kind of giving up his logo for something that the market said would work a lot better. Also, right at the very end, this is amazing. He gives you a complete breakdown of what the labels mean on all the different types of honeys there's out there. So definitely listen for that. So, without further ado, let's listen to the Honey Man of Romania, Dragoș.
Salutations, Scuba Believers, and we're here again with another amazing entrepreneur. We are here with Dragoș. Hey, Dragoș.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. We're amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I have a really kind of serious question to ask you. Okay. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. Are you a Scuba Believer?
Absolutely. I'm so happy to be a Scuba Believer.
All right. Great. We have our next Scuba Believer, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Dragoș. Now, Dragoș hasn't been open for very long. And Dragoș, we're going to have you tell us a little bit about your business, a little bit about yourself, and how long you've actually been doing it.
Right. So thank you very much for having me here, by the way. My business is a family business. So my from my father's side in the family has been beekeepers for about five generations, if not more. We cannot track it and backdate it more than this, but definitely more than five generations. They've produced this amazing honey for so many years, and they've always sold it to big industries, especially in Germany. The honey is produced mainly in Romania. And Romania is a very green country and it's very pure. It doesn't have many fields that contain pesticides, antibiotics. It's not an industrial country, so there's not much pollution going on. So the honey is really, really good quality. So recently, after graduating and after a few years into a sales career, my parents had a very nice conversation with me and they gave me a choice. They said, look, you've worked in sales quite a few years. You've graduated a finance degree. And now we just wanted to put another option for you out there. And we'd like for you to continue family business and actually commercialize our products and take our amazing products on the market. And, you know, it would be a shame not to. And it's up to you, really, if you would like to pursue a corporate career or one in sales or to take care of a startup like this. Particularly speaking about me, I was born in Romania, grew up in Italy, been living in London for the last few years. And yep, I think I'm just a very metropolitan child.
All right. That's amazing. Hey, I'm one thing I'd like to touch on really quick is the fact that your parents actually gave you a choice of to do one thing or the other. I know a lot of parents out there are saying, this is the family business. You're going to do this and you don't have a choice. That's just the way it is. It's nice that they kept an open mind about things and said, okay, you can do this or you can do this. And it sounds like you made the right choice, Dragos.
Thank you very much. I really think that my parents wanted me to have a specific age before giving me that choice. I'm 30 years old now, and they wanted me to live life a little bit, you know, to go through work, to work in retail, to do whatever I was passionate about, to finish my studies and see if maybe, for example, in my case, corporate finance or the banking industry, which I was very orientated towards, was, you know, something that I was really interested in. And they always wanted me, though, to, you know, I've grown up with bees and I know everything about them. So they always wanted me to take over, but they've never mentioned it. Up until recently, they have never mentioned it. And I think, yes, I completely agree with you. I think that's very important from a parenthood perspective.
All right. That's great. I was about to ask you what made you want to start your business, but since it's a family thing, it just kind of was in your blood, it sounds like.
I would say yes. And I would also have to say that it's the people that I've surrounded myself with over the years and some things that happened. I'd like to tell you a story, a small story, if you don't mind, about believing in yourself. So a while back, I've met a gentleman called David. He was part of he was a treasurer here in Great Britain, retired. And he was really impressed with my excitement and me just wanting to be everywhere and meet everybody and talk and learn. And this was in a place in Rome, in this hotel that I was working for the English church back then. In the evening, one evening, he saw that I was very anxious and he asked me why. And I said, I have a finance exam the next day at the university in Rome back then, and talk finance a lot. And he knew I dominate a subject. And he was like, why are you anxious though? I was like, I don't think I believe in myself. We used to play chess together a lot, right? So we sat down at the table. This is one of the most beautiful motivating stories for me ever. We sat down and we played this game of chess and he beat me. But he did something very, very interesting. At the end of the game, he just put two pawns on the chessboard, and he took one of them and said, Dragos, my friend, you're an incredible human being, but I want you to remember something, that even this pawn can become a queen. And I know, you know, for me, it was such a deep thing. He was trying to say that you have to believe in yourself no matter what, that no matter what, you know, you can accomplish everything. You have that strength to accomplish whatever you want in your life. You just have to want it. You just have to push, you just have to keep doing what you're doing and to believe more in yourself.
God, that's such an amazing, I wrote that down. I got to tell you, even this pawn can become a queen. That in itself is just even motivation for me, saying that no matter what I can do, even if I'm the smallest person in this, if I work hard enough and I believe in myself, I can become king, queen, whatever your perception is. That is just some great words right there.
Another very, very interesting case that I'd like to mention is another very, very motivating person for me, especially for this honey business, was a director of Deloitte, which I can't mention. He was very, you know, very, very interesting, the case. He's a friend. And when we were talking at first about me opening this business, he's always been there to advise me, to give me the, you know, the right advices about my life and stuff like that. And when I told him about my doubts about, you know, taking a corporate career, or should I, you know, involve myself in something that I'm passionate about and something that I love. And he looked at me and said, "I don't understand why you're even thinking about it. You're giving yourself the answer." That's what people look for a lifetime. They want to get a job where they understand it, they do it happily, and they're very passionate about. And I wish I could be in your place, because my choice would be quite straightforward. And at that time, I didn't take it as a very important thing. But thinking about it during the months that passed by, it became more and more relevant to me that it was a person, a very accomplished person that made so much and had an amazing career, that told me, if I were you, I wouldn't think twice to be happy and to do something that I love since such a young age. So again, that's another, you know, it's the people around me that slowly kind of formed me into believing in myself and saying, let's do this. Let's have this amazing journey.
That's amazing. That is fantastic. I've read in several different places, the top five people that you surround yourself with is the average of what and who you are. So it sounds like you had some great people to surround yourself with, family and a couple of mentors, and to get point you in the direction that you want to go and say, hey, this is really good for you. You need to accomplish this. And it sounds like you're heading the right direction there.
Absolutely.
I'm going to transition to something a little bit different. What are some of the pitfalls or problems that you've had starting your business? I mean, I know you haven't been very long in your business, but I know that you've kind of had some hangups and problems. Can you explain them to me?
Right. So we only started 3 months and a half ago. We started the end of February this year, after, you know, the pandemic, and the pandemic is still ongoing after Brexit as well, which is something that, you know, I live in London, and Brexit in terms of import export of honey, it was quite significant for me to open a business in the middle of a pandemic after Brexit, new laws, everything changed. So that was definitely a lesson. That was definitely a big problem. But more significant, I think, is the journey. I think, and I wouldn't call them problems, and I'm going to get to that in a second. When I first started this business, one of the big lessons that I have had was going back and having to change my mind about things. So when I first started business, it was three of us. It was me and my best friend and a business partner. I was very, very indecided about things. I designed a logo that I really liked. I was so happy about this logo. And my best friend, he's still my best friend. He's a very big entrepreneur. He was not very involved, right? So he was not very involved in the business. He was trying to just be there, accepting whatever I did. He was just okay with it because she just wanted the business. For him, it was more investment rather than a partnership. And it was very hard for me to go through that. The other business partner, though, came in a little bit later, and, you know, she reevaluated what we've done up until that point. And she said, look, the logo is absolutely amazing. I love it as well. But do you mind if we do a marketing test? And I was like, okay, it was something new for me to go through. But I like the logo. It's my logo. I've designed it. It represents me. And she said, I love it as well. Let's still have this survey and see what people think about it. And we've done a survey, and we've created another 9 different logos. And 90% of people went from the logo that we have now. It was so hard for me to you know, I had business cards printed. That's one of the first things I did, actually, as, you know, so excited about a new business that I print business cards. And I had this amazing hoodie with my logo on it. And having to go back, you know, the website was halfway through with the logo design and everything, and it was and the colors, and it was very, very hard to accept the fact that data was more important than what I wanted. Data is the guiding principle, especially when you're building a new business. You have to accept what the customers want, not what you want. You have to find a common ground with your customers. And that was a very, very important lesson for me to learn. In terms of my friend, eventually we had to split ways. We have to part ways because I needed someone to help. I needed someone to work with rather than me doing things by myself and just having some sort of financial support. That was, again, another very important lesson. I keep saying lesson because I think in business there are no mistakes. I think the word mistake should not be used in business, because everything is a lesson. You learn from everything. You fail a business, you declare bankruptcy, you open another business, you are more experienced, you are more solid, you know more. You fail again, no problem. You've learned even more now. Eventually, the more you fail, the less chance of failing you have. So failing is actually a positive thing. It just makes you bounce back stronger than before. Every time you fall in a hole, walking down the street, if you fall in 1 meter hole, it's going to hurt a lot. The next time you walk and you fall into again, you're just going to jump in it. The third time you're going to avoid it because you already know what it is. You know how deep it is. You know everything about that hole, right? And if the next time you keep walking down that street, you find an even deeper hole, that's fine. You're just going to go through it and do the same process. Eventually, you're going to avoid all of them because you know kind of where do they appear in, you know, the form and shape and circumstances, how do you create. It's just kind of the self-defense that you get. I call it learning process. I'm very proud of that.
That's important. A lot of people put a lot of negativity into the word failure and what it actually, they perceive it as, where entrepreneurs like us, we take those as learning opportunities. So we don't make that same mistake again. So if we start another one, we don't make that same mistake again because we've already been through that. We already know what the causes of it and the aftermath of it is. We don't want to experience that again. So we know what to do with that instead of fail is to get past that, learn from it, and succeed on the other side of it. You want to fail as fast as possible so you can learn from it as fast as possible so you can start your business up as fast as possible. I agree with you there. Failure is an important part of what we do. We almost celebrate failure. A lot of society right now does not celebrate failure. They think failure is really such a bad thing. So you make a great point, Drago. So I really appreciate that. So it sounds like to me you've had plenty of influences in your life, from business partners to people that you've talked to books that you've read. Do you have anybody specific that you'd like to kind of say that really influenced you, that keeps you moving forward, keeps you looking forward there?
I think it's a journey, really, that matters. I think it's everybody, really. Who I am today is because of all the people that I've had around me. Something very, very important, though, I have to say, is that I have been educated by my amazing family to stick with the people that inspire me, to have around me people that inspire me, people that can always uplift me, that when I do a mistake, they can tell me how big the mistake was and help me get out of it, not be there, you know, going like, oh, it's going to be fine. That's an easy path. You need, sometimes when you do mistakes, you need someone to tell you that how bad you've messed up things. And then they can tell you how you can improve, rather than. So I really think it's this ability of surrounding yourself with the right people. I think that's a key point. Surrounding yourself with the right people. That's an amazing key point. So in terms of inspirations, yes, I could say I'm very, very impressed, for example, with Elon Musk, because he is a futurist, and I consider myself to be a futurist as well. So he could definitely be an influence, but he's a very, very far away influence. I would not say that what I'm doing is because of him. It's lovely, though, to see the headlines of the new adventure great entrepreneurs are embarking themselves into, right? So he's like the sideline story that I like to hear from time to time, and being like, oh, you know, I'm happy you are succeeding. I, you know, it means I'm doing something good as well, because I'm trying to have the same sort of behavior and patterns of always improving myself, of trying something new, of risking, but not completely risking, like 90%, because without risk, without investing yourself into something, you cannot succeed.
Right. Right. I wonder if maybe Elon Musk could take some of your bees up to space and see if they act differently or make better honey, right? We'll call it space honey. one thing I want to really touch on that really means a lot to me is, have you ever heard of the word candor? Do you know what that means?
I apologize.
Okay, no, that's okay. What candor is actually what you just explained to me just a couple minutes ago, how somebody could tell you something, hey, this isn't working, but you could change it to make it right. That's basically the definition of candor. If you look in or read the book Creativity Inc., Creativity Inc. is a book about the Pixar story and Pixar and how they make their movies and the research they go into it. They rely a lot of candor, open conversations, no hurt feelings. And because of candor, they're able to make these amazing movies. And it sounds like to me that the people that you hang around with as far as inspirations do a lot of candor. And that I just wanted to make sure that you knew what that meant. And that's a very positive way of saying they're saying something negative. So that's kind of the way I kind of think of it. So
thank you very much. It sounds amazing. I actually want to read a book now.
Yeah, it's an amazing book. It's a lot of fun too. Of course, it's Pixar, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So I know you've only been really doing this for a couple of three, four months, but when will you know that you've made it? When will you get to that point where you say, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to happen in my life. What does that look like to you?
I think I can reconnect it to something I said slightly a few minutes ago. I think I've done it already. I've understood now, thanks to my friends, that I have done it already. I have chosen to do what I love with passion and dedication. And I wake up in the morning and I know I can do a change. I know that my decisions can influence people's lives. They can make them better. And I think I want to do this for the rest of my life. So it's weird to wake up in the morning and be happy and be satisfied and have your coffee in the morning and, you know, see the sunshine and be like, this is it. This is beautiful. This is amazing. And I want to continue like this every day for the rest of my life. I think this question is very, very interesting. Because I think it's relative to where, you know, everyone finds can answer that question in so many different ways. But I think being able to acknowledge happiness without having to go through pain is amazing. Reaching that moment in life where you just accept that you are happy and you accept that your condition is optimal. And you could always improve, and always space for that. But you can be happy without having to suffer first. I've read books and I've heard a lot of stories where you know, Jack Ma and many other entrepreneurs, they became so successful because they suffered. I don't think you need to go through that suffering and through pain. It's not a must in business to go through that pain or that suffering to be happy. So, yep, I think I'm there, and I'm so happy to be here and do exactly what I'm doing. And I hope I can do this for the rest of my life.
That's awesome. I hope that like in 3.5 months, I could say I'm where I've made it. I'm so glad for you that you found your place in such a short amount of time, and hopefully it'll last forever for you, or, you know, or at least until you pass on the next generation of beekeepers.
Thank you.
So. Let's say, for example, that you met someone or you met somebody on the street and they wanted to do a business similar to or the same as yours. Would you give them any advice, or is there any help that you would give them or anything like that?
The beautiful thing about bees is that they live in colonies. They help each other. No matter what, they always help each other. So I think that, especially when we talk about honey, let me tell you a story about this one. So basically, you can produce a different type of honey from every single flower. So every new flower that you have can make, if the bees collect pollen from or a nectar from just one flower, that's going to be one type of honey. Now, if it collects it from two different types of flowers, and you can imagine already the combinations you can have there, that's already a new type of honey with a new flavor, with a new everything, right? Now, consider how many flowers you have on the planet and the combinations that you can have in between all of them and the variations you can have, right? So honey is beautiful because it has variety. And in order to achieve all this beautiful variety, bees work together. Now, that's what I would do if I would meet a person that would like to build a business like mine. I would probably help them all the way through. I think beekeepers help each other on a daily basis. And that's how they operate. If they need an extra hive, if they need help with collecting the honey, they're always there to help each other. I think it's advice is I'd probably tell them to be resilient. And to try and respect the bees and not go for profit, because honey is an amazing product and it can be lucrative, but it needs dedication. It needs time, it needs patience. The beekeeping activity takes years to master, sometimes generations to be able to have a very successful beekeeping business. If you don't have profit in mind, I think it's an amazing adventure. And they should just be resilient and truthful to themselves and respectful of the environment and the bees. And they're going to be very, very successful. And they're going to be happy. They're going to be accomplished. They're going to feel that they are doing something amazing every day, hopefully like myself.
That's fantastic. I really think we could learn something from bee colonies. I mean, in a personal level, a lot of people don't want to help each other. They're afraid. Oh, he's competition. I'm not going to help him or anything like that. Where, I mean, guys like you and me, we want to help people out. We're not so much worried about the profit. The profit's kind of like an afterthought. I mean, having that special feeling that you've helped somebody accomplish a goal or be where they want to be and you are a part of it, that has its own types of rewards in your heart. And I think that's really more important than having any kind of amount of cash. I mean, yeah, that's what it's really all about. All right. So I'm going to give you a little different scenario here. So say I'm at Walmart or I'm at a store or some kind of boutique or something like that. And I see your awesome logo on, on some honey product, but I also see two more that are like sitting right next to it. What do you think would actually set your product apart from say these other two?
So first of all, if the quality is the same, it's definitely going to be a matter of taste of the honey. Even if it's the same type of tree, there are still going to be some small variation based on the content of water that they have in at the moment, how quickly they were collected, the honey was collected during the harvest, which region of, for example, if it's in Europe, if you collect the honey from the UK, the Acacia honey from the UK, or if you collect the Acacia honey from, for example, Greece, there's going to be slight differences in taste and texture. That's, first of all, very, very important to understand. Even in the United States, if you collect the same honey from the same flower from two completely different states, one from the East and one from the West, then you will feel differences there. That's not all, though. So our honey is 100% raw, organic, and natural. We do not give them any antibiotics. We do not give them any additives. We don't have any corn syrup. And this is a very, very big issue in the industry. A lot of beekeepers add corn syrup to the honey for profit. And this literally takes away the quality of the honey. You're not eating honey anymore. You're actually taking fructose and sucrose, and that's it. You don't have that many vitamins left. Well, we do. We also don't, our bees are in the middle of a very, very big acacia forest, for example. We don't have any, on a 5 kilometers radius, we don't have any fields that are being cultivated with anything. So no pesticides are being used whatsoever. So it's 100% raw and pure. We don't filter it. We only cold filter it, which doesn't necessarily imply an actual filter. So what we do is we let it 2 days to stay after the harvest. In very large containers to let all the impurities come up top, and we just collect the impurities up top, and that's it. So the honey is actually 100% raw. Nobody touched it at any point. We then reheat it, and we then put it straight away into jars. The beautiful thing about acacia honey, which is our main product, as you might have understood, is that it's liquid for the honey that keeps the liquid form the longest, almost a year. So it allows us to actually put it straight into jars without reheating it before it crystallizes, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the actual labels, so if I were to be a customer going to Walmart and just, you know, going to a supermarket, for example, and looking at the labels, there's a lot of things that someone has to educate themselves on. And I'm going to try and pinpoint some quick facts there. So first of all, raw in the trade industry, sometimes it's prohibited to say it's raw honey because honey should be raw. Its natural form is raw honey. But unfortunately, more and more businesses like myself, we're using it because natural honey, if you read natural honey on a jar, it means it's natural, but that does not mean that it cannot contain water, for example, or water with corn syrup. Corn syrup is natural. It comes from corn, right? And many, many other additives that you can add, they're all natural. So the honey is natural but it can contain natural elements, right? So natural does not mean it's not processed. Organic honey tends to have certification. So certification of organic honey means that, for example, there's no pesticides around where the bees are collecting the honey. The soil has been tested for pollution and it's green light. We say green light in the beekeeping industry in Europe, which means it's not polluted by factories, by smog, by other elements that could harm the honey itself and the bees. The containers have to be in a ceramic or aluminium. Plastic could release microplastics in the honey and deteriorate the quality. And then you have biological. Now, biological honey refers not to the honey itself, but to the process that of creation of the honey, that it's left to the bees to do it the way they normally do it. It's not altered in any way. It's not processed in any way. It's more, it talks more about the way the honey has been produced rather than about the honey itself. Last and very, but not less important is the fact that blended or non-blended honey. Now, blended honey, and Europeans should learn something from the United States here, is in Europe intended as a mixture of honeys by the public. But it's wrong, because blended honey, many times you find blend of EU and non-EU honeys. Now, the moment you blend EU honeys with non-EU honeys, non-EU honeys are non-regulated, so they can contain very large quantities of corn syrup, water, pesticides, antibiotics. So the moment you mix very good European honey that's been tested and everything with amounts of honey that is very bad quality, again, you're doing the same thing. It's cheating basically the system. Now, the United States did something very, very interesting a couple of years back, which was to state by law that if you find the word blended honey, it automatically intends additives and mainly corn syrup. So by law, if you read blended honey, blended will imply the addition of additives of other sugars, water and sugar or corn syrup, for example. Yeah, so I would really probably, let's see, what I would buy is raw honey biologically produced in the United States or in Europe, right? In a regulated country that comes from a regulated, where the honey is regulated, not a blend, pure honey, straight.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it straight from the honey man's mouth here. That's where you want to go if you want the best honey around. So thank you for explaining that to us. That's a lot of great information. I'm sure if anybody's going to have any questions about honey, you're the guy to go to. So I'm going to ask you a different question here just real quick. Is there one question you wish I would have asked you that I didn't?
Tough one.
Yeah.
What's the most important lesson that I've learned from this journey?
That's a good question. I like that. So I'm going to officially ask that question. So,
Oh my. Okay. Right. So the most important lesson for me, I really think it's to believe in yourself. I really think having no doubts is the most important thing in business. It's not about that. It's about testing. It's about the journey. The journey is the most important thing. And if you don't believe in yourself, the journey is going to have many pit stops. It's going to be difficult. You're going to doubt yourself. You're going to stop. Your product will reflect all of that. If you believe in yourself, though, and you believe that you can do it no matter what, because you're working on it and you're learning along the way, you're always improving. And if you do a mistake, you accept it. You don't dwell on it. You don't feel sorry about it. You accept it. If you've offended somebody, for example, sending a customer a jar of honey with a dirty lid or with a bended label, or you've offended a business partner, you have to apologize and you have to go back and make sure that doesn't repeat itself again. So I really think it's the way you face this journey and being truthful to yourself. I think that's the way to be successful in this kind of business.
All right. That's a great answer to a question that you came up with. Oh, my. All right. So one of my main questions here, and this is one of my favorites. What are your goals, say, within the next 6 months? If you had 6 months to look ahead, what is your goal?
Right. So I actually have three main goals. I do set up goals for myself. I have three main goals. My main goal for the time being is to acquire a partnership with an amazing netball team from the Vitality Netball Super League. In the UK, London Pulse. London Pulse is an amazing netball team that has a culture of well-being, and they try to help a lot of young children to dedicate themselves to sports. I think sports are very noble. Having sports in your life since early age is very, very important. It forms you. It makes you be more disciplined. It makes you understand teamwork. And I think all these values are reflected in this team. And I would really, really like to get this partnership. It would be absolutely amazing to be able to partner my honey business with this incredible team. My second goal would be to introduce another two types of honey, like I was specifying before. Unfortunately, 90% of our harvests are acacia honey because of the amount of forests that we have of acacia trees. which we're very happy for. I've grown up in those forests, and it's incredible to see the product that I have in my hands that comes from those trees right now. But we would like to extend our product. So I definitely want to get at least another two types of honey in the next 6 months. So that's definitely my second goal. My third goal is more bureaucratic, but I would really like to start shipping internationally. And particularly, I'd really like to reach other countries of the Commonwealth, like, for example, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, not because it's the Commonwealth, but because of the geographical variety of the types of honeys that I've tasted from these countries, and including, like, for example, Manuka honey in Australia and New Zealand, for example. I'm very excited about that. Unfortunately, there's not much real Manuka honey around planet because it gets diluted a lot, and we have the facts, we have the statistics to back that up. But I'm very, very impressed with the types of honey I've tasted up until this point. And I would like to get my honey on these markets and have all of these people see what we produce in Europe, and hopefully you can enjoy our products the same way they enjoy theirs.
That's amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing your product on my Walmart shelves up here so I can actually taste your honey and see what that's all about. So that would be awesome. Yeah. Hey, just real quick, American, what can I say? What is netball?
Right. So netball was actually created straight after basketball, like straight afterwards. It was a sport that initially was born in the UK to allow women to play basketball.
Oh, okay.
The rules, though, were changed very, very quickly. So there are many, many things changing about the size of the football pitch, players, the way it's played. So basically, players have to stay in their own designated areas. They cannot get outside of it. So there's a lot of team play there. You have to pass the ball. You know, in basketball, pass the ball, and nobody passes the ball, and then they don't score, hell gets loose and everything. In netball, that cannot happen. That team play is essential because they have to pass the ball. It's absolutely incredible. It's a sport that's very, very common and very, very popular in the United Kingdom, but especially in Australia and New Zealand. It's one of the main sports out there. There are more than 20 million women around the planet that play this sport, which is absolutely incredible. I think, and again, going back to London Pulse, what I really love about all this is that they create role models for young women. And I think this is amazing. They empower them. They allow young women to see players that have been very, very successful. They believe in themselves. They know how to team play. And also they are successful in secondary careers. And I've met some of the players at London Pulse, and they were absolutely astonishing. They finished degrees at Oxford University. They finished degrees at several important universities. They've had careers. They're having careers in investment banking, for example. But wow, they are professional football players. And this tells a lot about the sport, about what it gives you. And again, that's one of the main reasons I'm so eager to try and work with this netball team.
That's amazing. I was afraid it was going to be something like, when we say football over here, football, soccer over there, or something along those lines. So I just want to kind of clear that up and figure out what that was about. So I really appreciate the explanation there. All right. So at this point, I want to how do we get a hold of you? How do we get a hold of some of that honey if we can? And this is your time to shine here, Dragos. Let's hear it. Let's get you to advertise yourself. Okay, go.
Right, guys. You can find us at honeybeeandco.uk. We are a Cambridge-based honey business. We import honey from all over Europe. We work with some, hopefully, beekeepers from the UK. We're trying to get these partnerships going, and we would like to sell honey, European honey, all over the world. You can find us under the same name, honeybeeandco.uk, on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn. You can reach us if you have questions, and we'd be happy to have a conversation about honey at any point.
All right, that's great. And you know, this guy knows his honey, because anybody that's watching this on the YouTube channel could look at the book behind him. It says The Business with Bees. So if he has a book like that right behind him there, you know he knows what he's talking about. All right, so if anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can reach me at pianotangentertainment@gmail.com. If anybody has any other questions, please contact me there. If you have a brand new business that's under a year new, please contact me. I'd love to talk to you, and maybe we can do what me and Dragos just finished doing. All right. Dragos, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you having me here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been amazing.
All right. Great. Thank you, everybody. You have a great evening. Okay.
ladies and gentlemen, that was Dragos. Boy, that guy had definitely a wealth of information about honey. And he probably should, having 5 generations of beekeeping behind him. So, something I really kind of took away from that was the definition of candor. Candor, once again, is basically talking to somebody with an open mind and an open heart, even though it might be in a negative way, but it's all about being constructive with what you're actually saying and not so much being like mean about it or anything like that. So, and definitely look up that book. Creativity Inc. is actually one of my most favorite books, and I've read it so many times. So definitely look that up. And that more than likely will be in my online store. So check it out. Another thing that kind of struck a chord for me too, is I'm really happy that Dragos really has gotten to his moment so quickly in life and to the point where he actually feels that he's made it. What a great feeling that's got to be able to say, I've made it to where I want to be. But I'm sure that he still has a ways to go. He still had goals for himself that he has actually decided to work on. And I'm sure he has more to come. And another thing too about how beekeepers actually work together. One thing that I was always worried about when I first started this was that nobody would ever help me because I'm competition. Like, I don't want him to succeed, so I'm not going to help him in any way, shape, or form. And that really is not the case. I've come across so many people that are so willing to help me learn and grow. Even though I might be competition, they still want to see me accomplish what I want to accomplish. So when you're out there doing what you're doing and you need help, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go out there and say, hey, can you help me with this? I have a question about this. Don't think that they're actually competition and they're going to tell you the wrong thing. I mean, there's probably people out there that are. But for the most part, you're going to run into people that are more than willing to help you accomplish what you want to do with your life and your business. Okay, so it's time for the next update of what's been going on with my speaking engagement look around for Chris Brogan here. And I decided to go outside of the people that were kind of giving us the runaround as far as the AV equipment. So I went to a second AV equipment company. And they actually were pretty good about, you know, asking me what I needed and that kind of thing. And their price was actually about half of what the original AV equipment company that was attached to the convention center was for. That's good, but I'm still looking at about $12,000. So, God, that just still seems a lot to ask for any kind of investor to put together. So, still doing my research, still looking for other alternatives and saving a little bit of money and possibly putting this together again. So I'll keep you updated on that. So as far as the show goes here, if you want to contact me, you can reach me directly on Twitter at DJScoop2021. Also, if you want some tools or some things that might be able to help you in your entrepreneurial adventure, please visit my store in my website, which is uepodcast.net. Visit the store and you could see some books and some programs that can actually help you along. Also, if you can please help me with some of my algorithms so more people can listen to my show. If you're on iTunes, please give me a 5-star review if you can honestly give me one. And if you can honestly give me a review, that would be fantastic. And if you give me any kind of review, or 5 stars, or anything along those lines, I will definitely mention you in my show. All right, everybody, thank you for another amazing adventure for the day, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Hello there, DJ Scoob here, and I just want to personally say thank you for listening to my program. I really hope you learned something. Tune in 2 weeks to listen to another brand new entrepreneur. And remember, I can, I am, I will, and I'm doing it today. As a worker of 2 full-time jobs, running a podcast and coaching, every minute counts in my day-to-day. It's hard to be consistent in any of my social medias. And at this point, I cannot hire a social media manager. Pinnacle AI to the rescue!
I've been using Pinnacle AI for a couple of weeks now and seen big improvements in my outreach and consistency in all my social medias. Do you want to save time and increase your productivity too? Go to tuepodcast.net/AI for more information. Save yourself time and grow your brand. Try it now and see what it can do for you. Do you find yourself faltering when speaking in public? You definitely know what you're talking about, but you just can't seem to get over the horrific fear, and imagining people in their underwear is just not working. Whether you're gearing up for a big presentation or just looking to improve your daily communications, Leslie Fiorenzo is your go-to resource for mastering self-promotion, facing your audience fearlessly, and communicating with authority. Don't miss out on your opportunity to elevate your game. Contact Leslie Fiorenzo now or go to tuepodcast.net/speak to step into the spotlight with confidence. Your adventure in public speaking mastery starts here and now. Don't wait to get your voice heard. Book your free consultation at tuepodcast.net/speak to start your adventure in speaking excellence today.